The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Benevolent, merciful God, when we are empty, fill us. When we are weak in faith, strengthen us. When we are cold in love, warm us with that the fervor we may love our neighbor and serve them for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Please be seated.
A reading from Habakkuk, the oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not listen? Oh, cry to you, violence, and you will not save. Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contentions arise. So the law becomes slack, and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous, therefore judgment comes forth perverted. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray Psalm 37 responsibly. Do not be provoked by evildoers. Do not be jealous of those who do wrong.
For they shall.
Put your trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and find safe pasture.
Take delight in the Lord, who shall give you your heart's desire.
Commit your way to the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord and see what God will do.
The Lord will make
still before the Lord and wait patiently. Do not be provoked by the one who prospers, the one who succeeds in evil schemes. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord shall possess the land.
Glory to the Father.
A reading from 2 Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to our own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher, and for this reason I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. The Lord replied, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending the sheep in the field, come here at once and take your place at the table? Would you not rather say, prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink. Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done. The Gospel of the Lord.
Well, I think Jesus is a little hard on the disciples. These past weeks, as we've been reading Luke's gospel, we've heard Jesus say some really hard things. He says, give away all your possessions. He said, forgive those who do wrong to you. Not once, but every time, time after time. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. I don't think it's any wonder that the disciples said, give us more faith. If we're to follow you, we need help. Those are hard sayings. They feel inadequate for the task of following Jesus. They feel inadequate to live up to those challenges, unable to even imagine doing what Jesus is asking them to do. Well, after a week like we've had this past week, I suspect that a lot of us feel the same way. Give us more faith. The world seems to be falling apart. What with train wrecks and stabbings and gun violence and injustice against this group or that group, attacks against the Black community, violent protests in our own neighborhood that threaten not only the neighbors but law enforcement as well. We need a faith increase. But listen what happens here. When the disciples recognize their need, and they asked Jesus for help, for more faith, you'd think Jesus would be happy about that, pleased with that request, but not quite. It seems like he even starts with a rebuke. If you had even a speck of faith, he begins. Is he implying that they don't even have faith the size of a mustard seed? Is that a way to respond to the disciples' honest question, honest request? Well, maybe Jesus is shaking things up, turning everything upside down to let his disciples and us see that there is sufficient faith already. And besides, faith isn't something that you can measure. Just look around and see the miraculous presence of God all around. There are acts of faith happening everywhere. And Jesus explains that with a story about servants who are just doing their job. Servants are not invited to sit at the table with the master. They're supposed to eat in the kitchen after their work is done. Can you imagine Lord Grantham inviting Mrs. Patmore to sit down at the upstairs table next to him for dinner? In case you don't watch Downton Abbey, you missed that point there. Of course not. No one would expect that to happen. Nor do servants expect to be given great thanks for just doing their job. They just do it. And that's what Jesus says, faith is more like that. Jesus says, faith is simply the willingness to do what needs to be done, to see what needs to be done, and to do it. Faith is not like some kind of rare commodity that needs to be parceled out or saved up. The truth is, faith is not always heroic or sacrificial. In fact, in this story that Jesus tells, he seems to imply that it isn't ever, that faith is usually simple, doing the things that need to be done, big or small, great or commonplace, just doing what needs to be done, seeing what needs to be done, and then doing it. This isn't the first time we've heard this. Jesus, in Luke's gospel, Jesus says it many times and points to different people, common, ordinary people. The woman who reached out to touch Jesus' cloak when she was sick, and she thought, if I just touch his cloak, I can be healed. And Jesus says, she's faithful. That's a faithful act. Or the centurion, that soldier who came to Jesus, sent word to Jesus, to come and heal his servant. And Jesus says, that is a faithful man. Ordinary, simple acts. Jesus calls them faithful. Next Sunday, we'll hear another story about the leper who has been healed and is on his way to the priest and realizes that he's healed, turns around and goes back to thank Jesus. And Jesus says, that's a faithful act, saying thank you, a faithful act. With all these examples that have happened in Jesus' teaching and traveling with the disciples, and our hearing these stories from Luke's gospel, we shouldn't be surprised at Jesus' teaching here about faith being a simple act. Jesus says faith is not quantitative. It's all around. Just look. Faith is not found in moving mountains or saying to a mulberry tree to jump in the sea. Faith is ordinary. It's in the everyday acts that need to be done, responding to the needs around us, caring for people who come our way. I think this is really good news. Faith abounds. Faith is all over. Jesus calls so many of the ordinary and unnoticed things that you do every day as faithful acts. Showing up, doing a good job, getting the kids to school on time, listening when someone needs to talk, spending time at coffee hour talking to someone that you don't know real well, helping out at Taco, donating food to Loaves and Fishes, registering to vote, and then slogging your way through those however many propositions we have, so that when you arrive at the ballot box or you are marking your ballot, you do so with some information. A faithful act. Cooking supper, praying for a neighbor or a family member who's having a hard time, saying thank you when someone does something nice for you. The list of faithful acts is endless. Now, many of these things we just do without thinking. You know, we don't say, oh, I'm going to do this because I'm faithful. and this is a faithful act. And I think that's the point of Jesus' story. Too often we think that God only notices our good deeds, our faithful acts, when they're huge, heroic, sacrificial things. But Jesus is urging us to live as faithful people, to live as people of faith, and know that all that we do is really an act of faith. Martin Luther understood this. 500 years ago, he held up an example of faithful living. This is what he wrote. "Now you tell me, when a father goes ahead and washes diapers or performs some other menial task for his child, and someone ridicules him for being a fool, though that father is acting in a good spirit and in a Christian faith, my dear fellow, I tell you, who is most keenly ridiculing the other? God, with all his angels and creatures, is smiling, not because the father is washing diapers, but because he's doing so in Christian faith. Even changing a diaper is an act of faith. The ordinary, everyday things that we do are acts of faith and God blessed. When we can see our everyday, ordinary acts of faith as important and meaningful, that can give us energy to do even more. That's the increase our faith that the disciples are asking for from Jesus. So when we hear all of this bad news, when we hear about more shootings, more children dying, more injustice, more war, it can seem like there is no hope for our nation, no hope for our world. And yet, all around us are signs of hope and signs of God continuing to care and love in this world. And those acts of God's, those acts of faith, faith in God, faith in the goodness of the world, bring us to even more faithfulness. Contrary to how it may feel at times, your faith and your faithful acts are totally enough. And your faith is more than enough for today. We might beg, as the disciples did, for more faith, but Jesus says, live your faith. You have faith. You are faithful. See God in all of your actions, bringing more faith into the world, even in changing diapers. Peace will come one by one. We can heal the world by loving it. Amen.